With cyber attacks on the rise, protecting your data security is more important than ever. So why is Congress considering a bill that puts your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill shifts billions in consumer spending to less secure payment networks, all so that corporate megastores can make bigger profits. Don't let Durbin-Marshall steal your data. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org and tell your senators to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As you're listening to this, we're on the road.
That's not a reason you folks shouldn't get a show.
We could just have candy.
Yeah.
All candy.
Play some games.
We could just play a bunch of games. Hard Pivot, Demogorgon, King of the Hill.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Just a catching strays over here.
You're in for a hell of a show.
Keep the faith. Hold the line and own the libs.
It's time for our main event.
Welcome back to the Ruthless Variety program. I'm Josh Holmes, along with Comfortably Smug, Michael Duncan, and John Ashbrook. We're the hardest working people in conservative media, unquestionably. So as you're listening to this, we're on the road.
That's right. I mean, the work never ends. Everyone knows it's an election season, so we're on the road right now helping make sure we get as many Republicans elected to office as possible, but that's not a reason you folks shouldn't get a show.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, we thought, you know, you could do dated material with that's evergreen. I'll read some poll numbers at you or something like that. But that'd be boring as shit. We could talk about, like, you know, how bad Joe Biden is, but you get that every day and you see it with your own eyes. Or we could just have candy.
Yeah.
All candy.
Play some games.
We could just play a bunch of games and keep you totally entertained and enthralled here. So I think that's what we're going to do, fellas. It sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds great.
All right, we play three games today. It will start with Hard Pivot.
Fan favorite.
We will play Demogorgon.
Yes.
And we will also play King of the Hill. And I want at the outset to know that we are filming this within the confines of the week that I had just played as champion with Sherry Jacobus. It was so good, and I had so many, many options that I have put a waiver in where I'm comfortable playing the same week as I already played my winning tweets.
I mean, that's like championship right there. That's that's the heart of a champion.
That's good stuff.
You're just playing every night.
Michael Jordan of our sport.
All right, so with all of that, I think we've got a Hard Pivot first. Michael, would you mind refreshing the audience of what Hard Pivot is, since you're sort of a game master here?
Of course. So we take a lot of enjoyment in politics of watching politicians do media hits, particularly on cable news, where they get asked a question they don't really want to answer. And clearly they had some comms director or campaign manager in their ear before the hit went live. And they said to him or her, you know, sir or ma'am, really the talkers today are on issue X. You got to get those talkers in. You got to pivot to your policy, you know, paper on Y, whatever it is. So you get these hilarious, awkward situations in politics from time to time where a question is asked. The question is not really answered. It is pivoted away to what the politician actually wants to talk about, my education plan, my tax plan, whatever it is. And so this game, in spirit of how hilarious that is two contestants will be the politicians. In this game, I'm the comms director who reads them what the pivot is. What is the talker they have to get on?
Yeah.
And Ashbrook is going to play the role of the journalist who's going to be asking the question that they have to pivot away from.
I can't, this is just such a great game. Yeah. And I'm a contestant this time around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also there's a bonus. The contestants have been given like an extra icing on the cake if you can throw into your Hard Pivot
plug.
To try, yeah, if possible, find a way to plug that too.
Yeah, it's sort of like the triple sow cow.
It's like when you're a campaign comms guy and you're like, just make sure to say the website at least once, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like invariably you get pushback. This is in that spirit where it doesn't fit, but you have to make it fit.
Got to get the Hard Pivot.
Right.
Okay. So who's going first here?
I think Smug is first.
Okay. Smug is first.
And do you have the description of who Smug is?
I do.
Okay.
Smug, you're a hard-line left-wing Democrat.
Oh, boy.
Should be easy.
That shoe fits.
Who stares directly in the eye of everyone they talk to and holds eye contact for 10 seconds before answering a question. Your pivot...
Oh, my God. This is so good.
...is the importance of Democrats continuing to support student protests at Columbia University.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. You got it? You want me to read any of that again?
I got it.
Okay. Journalist.
Okay. Mr. Smug, thank you for coming today. My question is, President Biden claimed his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea during World War II, but there's no evidence to support that claim. I'm wondering, should the president apologize to the people of New Guinea?
So here's the thing about that. First of all, Ashbrook, I think that's a very insensitive subject to bring up. You know, a man who was serving his country died. And I think there's a lot of insensitivity, especially coming from you journalists lately, like how you've been treating the situation on these campuses in Colombia, where you have these kids who are bravely standing up for these terrorists and their rights.
Oh, dear.
And I think it would be helpful for everyone listening right now, the same way to show solidarity with these kids, as Gaza shows solidarity with trans LGBTQ people. And I think the best way to show their solidarity is you can go to gaysforpalestine.com and buy a Kindred Kifia, one of those scarves that they're wearing for $19.99. Now, your money is going to go to support the Gays for Gaza movement. So you can show some hospitality to those people, unlike the way Ashbrook and other journalists are showing hospitality to these kids.
Wow. Wow.
Other than calling them terrorists, it was perfect. Yeah. That's going to be hard to beat.
That's going to be tough to beat.
That's going to be tough. All
okay,
right.
Okay, on to our second.
What's my pivot?
Well, who is he?
Who am I?
Sir, you're the spokesperson for a prominent conservative activist organization that is pro-Israel. Your pivot... ending police abuses such as red flag laws and civil asset forfeiture.
Wait.
That's a great pivot.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Give me the pivot one more time.
Ending police abuses such as red flag laws and civil asset forfeiture. They're important pro-gun and libertarian issues.
Okay.
I wish Duncan could have done this one because this would come straight from the heart.
No, yeah. He would actually would not even be a it wouldn't be a trick. He'd be like, "Here it is."
Yeah, no bit needed.
5x match for Ron Paul. He's written that.
So good. Okay. All right, I'm gonna look at my plug here.
Take your time. Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, this is okay. They've had fun with this one.
You ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Holmes, students across the country have been targeted by law enforcement on campuses. Do you think the mass arrest of students who are simply exercising their First Amendment rights is excessive on the part of law enforcement?
Well, thank you for the question. I think it's an important issue because there's an awful lot of police abuses. This is not one of them. All of them should be promptly jailed, held without any sort of rights whatsoever. But I can tell you that what I see as a problem in the law enforcement community is that you have law-abiding citizens all across this country who are exercising their Second Amendment rights. They're owning property. They're doing all of the things that are guaranteed right there in our Constitution. And they're putting things like red flag laws, civil forfeiture as another example, things that strip away the very rights that we were promised as Americans right from birth. I can tell you as a very pro-Israel organization, it's one of those things that we would like to see these people stand up for. Instead, they're standing up for terrorists, and I think we should all send them to Gitmo. But when it comes to protecting our guns, we're going to need them against those people. Mm. We're going to need them against those terrorists. And that's why I think what we have to do is protect our law enforcement that get it, that really get the joke, that you got to arm the citizenry immediately to stand up against those kind of protesters. And for those people, I'd like to send you the Blue Lives Matter commemorative coin. And you can get it available at StopRedFlags.com.
That's good. This is going to be tough to judge, Ashbrook.
This is a very tough one.
Dude, there
judge.
Has to be a Blue Lives Matter commemorative coin.
This is
there
a very,
has to be one.
Very, very tough one to judge. And here's the thing. It is – there's always a little bit of bias that goes into whoever's playing the left winger because it is so funny.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It always is just so shocking how quickly you can just be like
– give their talkers.
Spitting out the left wing talking points. But Smug did call the terrorists at Columbia what they are, terrorists. Mm-hmm. He didn't call them protesters.
Didn't commit 100 to the bit.
Slipped for a moment.
He slipped. He slipped back into himself and out of character. And so that was a point against you for that, Smug. Holmes, it was very good. There were a couple points where I lost the thread of who was the cop that was the good cop, who was the bad cop.
Well, they take guns versus put
the protesters in prison.
It is tough. You had to split hairs between good cops and bad cops, and of course you're selling commemorative pins, coins for the
very
good cops.
Important movement.
At StopRedFlags.com. It was very, very good. And the only reason I'm giving this to Smug.
Oh, I got robbed again.
The only reason I'm giving this to Smug is because of the plug that he delivered on Gays for Palestine.
Yeah, that was good.
And that's not all on him. Yeah. A lot of that's on Lee.
I came up with the idea.
Very funny. Yeah, very funny. But because he delivered it.
The Gays for Palestine is pretty good. It's hard to overcome.
It's hard to overcome.
What a great game.
It is such a good game.
I love that game.
Oh. Also, is it a conservative thing? Because, like, I am a sucker for those challenge coins. Like,
you like those things?
I love the challenge coins. Like, when we've met with on the road, we have people from DHS mm-hmm. at the border.
And they give you the challenge?
Every one of those challenge coins, it goes on my shelf.
It's a big military thing, though,
right,
Wolf?
Yeah.
I mean, it all stems out of a...
Like, I think in the military, they're supposed to, like, present the coin whenever they're asked for it or something, right? Yeah. I just think they're neat.
They are neat. I also liked... remember when they did all the state coin quarters?
Yeah.
Remember when those came out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and you would, like,
collect
those.
Them all.
That's kind of cool.
Well, you can get the commemorative coin at StopRedFlags.com. So good. All right, so on to our second game. Fellas, Demerjourno, a real staple of the program. We've had it since damn near the beginning. Mm-hmm. And as you recall, Michael, why don't you, since the Game Master is doing his thing.
Yeah, so Demerjourno, as you know, it's difficult to tell the difference. And so I'm going to read four statements, three of which have been made by actual journalists, one by a Democrat operative. And my friends here need to determine which is the Democrat operative. Hmm. I think it's our most difficult game.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging.
It is. Okay. Statement number one. It's amazing how the, quote, safety discourse, once seen as a province of leftish snowflakes, has been appropriated by the partisans of imperial slaughter.
Jeez.
wait. What are the partisans of imperial slaughter appropriating? What's the...
Has been appropriated by the partisans of imperial slaughter.
Oh, the safety discourse.
Yeah, safety discourse.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quote, safety.
In quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so worried if that's the journal.
I'm very worried, but also seems a little bit too high. I'll break it down.
Okay. Statement number two. I want to clear some stuff up. I didn't see a single instance of violence or aggression on the lawn or at the student encampment. The student-led protest was peaceful. Oh, and often very quiet.
I have a good idea. Mm-hmm. I got a good idea.
Statement number three. I'm sure the National Guard shooting a few college kids will settle things down and shut everyone up.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
But I'll say yes.
What?
Sure worked at Kent State.
It was self-defense. I heard that the kids were attacking him. Many people are saying.
Okay.
Statement number four. Not only did Columbia make the horrific decision to mobilize NYPD on their own students, but the units called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. NYPD has promised the city they wouldn't deploy SRG to protests. So why are these counter-terror units here?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. This is a doozy.
Yeah.
It is insane. This could be the hardest.
All right. Can we start breaking it down a little bit?
Break it down.
All right. So my view is the clearest journo is number two, because they see it as their job to clear stuff up.
Oh, they're observing and reporting.
That is their thing. And they didn't see a single act of violence. It reminds me very much of a very peaceful protest.
That's what I was going to say.
That was the exact note I took. Yeah. This is the standard journo playbook of, like, don't believe your lying eyes. Fiery but mostly peaceful. That's the exact note I took. That's dead on.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
I had the same thought.
So the National Guard settling things down, clearly... It was clearly a throwback to the Vietnam era, where you were dealing with National Guardsmen that became involved in campus protests, and there was some unfortunate incidents and shootings and whatnot. It became a national sort of nightmare at some level. So that's what it's throwing back towards. I'd initially pegged that as a potential Democrat. But I just don't know that many operatives who have contemporary experience to know that. Like, they're younger. It's a different generation. And so I settled on a journo on that one as well.
Okay. I think it. I also took journo for number three. To me, it sounds like a joke that a lib might try to make, that's like some of the libs are going to laugh at, so they're making it on Twitter. Obviously, very poor taste. But it sounded to me a little bit more like a journo talking to their journo buddies.
So I want to say a couple of things about number three. Could we get the tweet back on the screen, please? So the tweet's, I'm sure the National Guard shooting a few college kids will settle things down and shut everyone up. So, I mean, I don't know the truth. Some people have said that the Kent State thing was self-defense, that, like, the people were attacked, the National Guard were attacked. I don't know.
I love it. You just injected that apropos of nothing. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Just want to correct the record. Yeah,
just gonna keep that. Just throwing it out there.
Throwing it out there.
Just asking
it
questions. Out
there. Yeah.
But
some people say there was a grassy knoll incident.
Yeah. Yep.
But specifically as this relates to number one, like, I think we were all stunned at the audacity of number one. Can I get number one again, please? So number one was, it's amazing how the, quote, safety discourse, once seen as a province of leftish snowflakes, has been appropriated by the partisans of imperial slaughter. So that's, like, so super outlandish, right? But the thing is the doomer in me wants to be, like, only the worst things are possible.
With your
so because of one and three, I did the doomer switcheroo, and I say number one is journo and number three is dem.
Okay, let me – because I took the opposite take here. I thought number one was a Dem, not just a Dem, like a Soros operative, because I cannot imagine a journo, even like, I can't imagine them writing imperial slaughter as a way to describe.
That's a tough journalistic position.
Right. These are your really friends, is. John.
I can't imagine a single one of them.
I don't know that you could go back to a publication after writing something like that.
Right.
No, I think it's changed so much that, like, the Slack group will go after you if you don't write something like that.
God, I hope you're wrong.
Well, I thought that sounded so hot. It's a Soros operative.
I do.
And number four. Oh, go ahead.
I do appreciate, though, in number one, that person is acknowledging
that it is a leftist.
That a quote unquote safety discourse has entirely been exploited by the left to do things like shut down conservative voices on the internet.
Yeah.
Out of fear of, like, this is literally violence.
Yeah. Right.
It's just funny to see them acknowledge that.
That's a great point.
Implicit in that is their own hypocrisy.
That is so good.
Love it. Oof. I thought number four was
Can we get that one on screen?
Journo. So I thought one was the Dem, four was the Journo, and that's the reason why I think Journo is because left-wing journos love to demonstrate a familiarity with local over-policing. We've seen that over the last few years.
That's a good thought.
NYPD had promised the city they wouldn't deploy SRG to protests. What SRG? I mean, like, who's using the
vernacular?
Right. Other than a left-wing lib journo who wants to show that
I think you're probably right about that.
Wants to show solidarity with the left. Just a guess.
All right. So you're taking one. Smug, you're taking three as the Dem operative. Just to keep things interesting, I agree with this analysis, and I would have ordinarily taken one. But just to keep it interesting, I'm going to go with four.
Okay.
So everyone, I think the Dem is three.
Ashbrook thinks it's one, and I think it's four.
Okay.
Well, you're all correct that number two is a journo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're just going to clear things up. Yeah. That's what they're here to do, guys.
Yeah.
Mostly peaceful.
It's mostly peaceful. Nothing happening here.
I didn't see anything.
I don't believe those cameras.
That's why I'm standing out here.
My assignment is just to observe nothing.
Number one, sorry, Ashbrook, is a journalist.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding?
Always anticipate the worst of these people. These are your friends, John.
Imperial slaughter.
Doug Henwood, who's a self-described journalist from Brooklyn.
Doug's who you were grabbing drinks with, Ashbrook.
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Weren't you in his wedding?
Yeah.
Are we? I want to know how we're defined. Doug is a
drinks.
He's a
Doug
self-described journalist. Like, what publication is this guy at?
I don't know. We'd have to ask the production team.
Like New York Times.
We got a lot of people. They're all looking at each other.
The Village Voice.
We've had this come up in Denver Journal several times and whether somebody actually qualifies.
Well, sometimes you get freelancers who are published in a
world.
Lot of different.
And the
world. As long as they're published somewhere.
IBO News.
That's a news organization.
It is?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
You
just said it. I don't have it. That's not a real thing. That's like a McDaniel site.
It's if Ashbrook was your best man, you're a journo.
DNY Newsy or whatever.
And just look at him. Hold on. Put it back up.
That is the dude you would think.
Just look at him.
That is him. That is him.
That is a dude who you would quickly usher your children inside if they were walking past your house slowly.
Yes,
it's Imperial Doug. He had to knock on our door last week. He'd made some mistakes.
Believes in second chances.
Okay, so what is it?
Number four is the Dem. That's
hey, I got
nicely
it.
Done.
Yeah,
nicely done.
That was from AOC.
Oh, okay.
An expert.
Okay.
Nobody
knows the overreach of the police.
Right.
Like, defund AOC.
Yeah.
And, you know, she acts so hard. But if you go to a movie theater and try to be like, don't you care about the Palestinians? She's like, bro, I was watching Dune 2. Leave me alone. This is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Right. Who are you to judge the NYPD?
She's the best actress in the game.
Yeah, no, dude.
It's
incredible. It's amazing.
So did you guys see that clip of her being asked on Capitol Hill, like these protesters are chanting death to America, and her response was, I haven't seen the reports.
I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen the reports.
She knows the call sign of the squad car sitting out front, but she doesn't. She doesn't have any idea what they said.
I haven't seen the reports. I haven't thumbed through the data. You know what a coward.
The reports.
And just like, why do you even know whether it was? Does it have to be said for you to denounce it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you could easily qualify that statement as a responsible person who's been elected to fucking federal office and serves in the United States Congress and say, well, if that was said, I think that is very wrong. Simple as that.
Nope, not possible.
Nope, can't do that.
Can't do it.
Because Hamas has a constituency in the Democratic
Party.
That's
exactly right, Michael. That's exactly right. Can I get the name on number three?
That was Chris Hayes, your favorite guy.
Oh, wow. Chris Hayes. Remember when he used to troll me? Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
He blocked me after I went after him once. Coward.
I could never figure out why it was that I got on his radar, But it was like several months.
He's just an angry, angry dude.
Yeah.
He's so angry.
Well, that's the hallmark of libs, right? They're just mad. Just mad at stuff.
He had to just knock on people's doors and say he made some mistakes.
It's all in the past now. Reformed. Okay, all right. Well, so that's Demer Jurno. We'll get back to our third and final game right after this.
Americans for Prosperity has done it again. You're going to love this. Know how Biden's been running around the country bragging about Bidenomics? And the media's doing stories on how the president has embraced the term? Well, guess what? Americans for Prosperity just bought the Bidenomics.com domain name. I can't believe the White House didn't get this first. This would be like Pepsi buying Coca-Cola.com. It's hilarious. Bidenomics.com sets the record straight on the failures of Joe Biden's economy, his horrible record on cost of living, wages, debt, deficits, energy, and more. I've been to the site. I can tell you, it's not what Joe Biden wants Americans to see. AFP takes Biden's own words and compares them to the reality of everyday Americans. It's packed with facts and stories that prove Bidenomics is a costly failure. Americans for Prosperity deserves a lot of credit for this coup. Visit Bidenomics.com soon, the website Joe Biden doesn't want you to see.
Okay, boys, King of the Hill. And in a magnanimous gesture, this champion is playing two within 1 week's notice.
Okay.
I'll be honest, that is tough.
It's never been done before.
Never.
And I am certain that T-Rex will take notice of that.
Yeah.
He's a precedent setter.
Best analyst for this game in history.
No question. Although he is pretty angry at Duncan for the website.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He doesn't care
for
the
renovations. He pointed out Duncan messed up some things.
I didn't mess up anything.
No, don't listen to him, T-Rex. You're totally right.
I think
right.
The thing was wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, we moved off Simplecast, which had a beautiful site display, to the Libsyn stuff, so, you know, we could... Anyway, it's a lot of technical jargon, but
That's what the tech guys say.
Yada, 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 we let you down.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, T-Rex. Let me apologize for my friend.
Oh, my God. I love that he has to wear it. Oh,
no, you're looking at a boy like... I'm going to apologize for nothing. I just want to make everything very clear.
Okay. All right. So, King of the Hill.
Who's the challenger?
I am.
But
you got to let the ring announcer know.
Bill Kristol. Yes. The sacrificial lamb today against the psychotic break of Sherry My Sherry is Bill Kristol. I will do my best to keep up. I know Holmes is over here just bathing himself in glory that he had to play this game twice with a woman who's having a mental health crisis. It's the easiest thing in the world to play her. Guy's acting like he did something.
I don't think there's anybody, interested in T-Rex take on this as he keeps the analytics for this game. I don't know if there's anybody who's played Sherry My Sherry more than you have, Michael.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. Let's go ringside.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. It's time for King of the Hill. In the blue corner, fighting out of Pierre Omidyar's checkbook, on the last page, for a chance to reclaim his crown, Bill War Now, War Forever, Kristol! And now, over to the red corner, fighting out of her own Twitter account, and current champion of the world, Gami Cherry Jacobus!
And we're back to a fair courtroom because I'm the judge.
Okay.
And we have Ashbrook as bailiff. I need you to, hold it down, man. Like, you can't let these people get away with anything.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
All righty. I think we're ready to roll.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to call up exhibit number 9, please. Exhibit number 9, 9:17 p.m., Jerry says, Trump can't get new voters and supporters who are normal people. He can only look under rocks for racist vermin and drag them to the polls and also cheat. Trump can't win without cheating. Period.
And for our folks who aren't on YouTube, you should subscribe because you'd see that was in all caps.
Well, that's the new styling. That's the new styling.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I take that back. Our tech team just messed it up.
They're making it more legible for the YouTube audience, pal.
Okay. Well, okay.
I have taken note of the fact that we can no longer have font size or capitalization critique, so I've left that out here. It could be, it could not be. But I do think that the only people who vote for Trump are racist vermin.
Vermin.
Under rocks is a noteworthy statement.
And I mean, to go period, and also cheat. Period.
No, that's my favorite, is they throw that in at the end. Like, everybody's accused Trump of everything under the sun. He's got 91 different indictments all over the country. If everything from paying off porn stars to, like, throwing riots, everything. Not one person has ever accused him of cheating. Not one. Hasn't even been suggested.
He's like, and another thing.
And another thing.
Terrific.
Cheat. Okay. Can I go now? Am I allowed to go?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Bill Kristol, exhibit number 3. He is quote tweeting here a tweet, you know, from a member of Congress who's complaining about the people waving the Ukrainian flags on the House floor during the foreign aid bill vote, which was sort of a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite thing in the world, honest, if I'm being honest with you. He quote tweets it and says, "Flag fetishization is really the last refuge of the scoundrel."
It's incredible. This guy really just thinks so much of himself.
What I love about it is the actual quote, this is from like a British intellectual, is patriotism.
Yep.
Is the last refuge of the scoundrel. So it's like he's actually attacking patriotism.
The thing is, so specifically when it comes to Bill Kristol, you see this kind of thing when you're a kid who never did anything and you live off of daddy's name and money, right? Is you think you're just the most clever motherfucker out there.
But he would think of himself as a patriot.
That's the thing. Is he thinks...
That's the irony of this.
He, number one, he thinks he's like the ultimate like arbiter of truth and what's right. And like he's swirling his Chablis being like, I know it would be a clever tweet. Instead of patriotism, I'll say flag fetishization. Send tweet, right? And he just thinks he's the best. No one would know him if it wasn't for his dad. And like I think... Hopefully he has a self-awareness that chews away at him, which is why he does this stupid shit. But it's still pathetic nonetheless. And for that, he takes round number 1.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Excellent decision, Your Honor.
I mean, it says a lot about the character of the individual. And I thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating. Thank you, Judge.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Judge.
Are you ready for number 2?
I am certainly ready.
That's going to change my strategy significantly.
Okay, Bill Kristol, this is exhibit number 1, Spaghetti. I love this one so much. If you're going to denounce the mob at Columbia, you should denounce the mob of January 6th.
Oh my God.
If you're opposed to the campus mob, you should oppose the MAGA mob. If you're against campus demagoguery and lawlessness, you should be against Mar-a-Lago demagoguery and lawlessness. Bill Kristol, 7 a.m. Came in hot, scheduled tweet at 7:00.
I mean, again... I would love to see this guy because he's in New York. Walk down there. See what it's
go
like.
Go check
for you.
It out.
Yeah.
But I think what he's saying is I denounce both, and so I'm the good guy.
Oh, sure. But
that's half his bit, though.
That's the thing is he's trying to make this like false equivalency of morality, right?
Right.
Where he was like, I'm the moral arbiter. Why won't anyone talk about the cause that I care about while minimizing what's actually happening there on the ground? I mean, the thing is that this guy lives off of minimizing violence. He doesn't care how many people have to die for his wars, so he doesn't give a shit either way, right? So
I'm
that's
concerned
why he doesn't care.
That the judge is beginning to extrapolate out.
I'm just really hot on the takes this guy is dropping
about what is being litigated.
I don't remember any of the protesters court. On January 6th calling for a genocide.
Yeah.
Or saying that they supported terrorism or that they were wanting to, like, kill their classmates on campus.
Yeah. Some were mostly peaceful.
Seems like a false
equivalent. You file an amicus in your own court? Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah. What a judge.
What a judge.
This is the fairest judge in history.
I love what a judge. All right. So one of my favorite Sherry Macherry bits is this underpinning that she has in all of her commentary about her own career being aggrieved and how that has sort of affected her mental health over the years.
But like, for folks who don't know the deep lore, she actually applied for a job on the first Trump campaign and didn't get it, and it broke her. She's been like, I hate you so much. She blames all her problems now on that.
And she was, in the same time period, a paid commentator on CNN.
Yeah.
And she lost that job, along with apparently every other job. Except a few cats.
It's like a Batman villain origin story.
So she's commenting upon the Pecker testimony.
Oh boy.
In the Trump trial in New York. And she says, Jeff Zucker, this is Exhibit 6. Jeff Zucker, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, and others in the media also engaged in catch and kill for Trump by silencing, defaming, blacklisting, and ruining some of us who knew and could prove ugly truths about him that it would have resulted in his defeat. This is so good for so many reasons.
Yeah.
For one, Zucker, CNN, if anybody thinks that Zucker did Donald Trump any favors in 2016, none.
No.
It was an absolute tragic shit show in terms of what you would call journalism. Like, that was just straight attack journalism in a general election. Roger Ailes, which is hilarious to me because, like, he served kind of a role within the Trump campaign at one point because he got fired from Fox in that same time period. And O'Reilly left early 2017.
Yeah.
So, like, all of this shit, even the timeline is fucked up. Right? They're, she's claiming that they did all catch and kill stuff for him. They weren't even there.
Can I get that tweet on the screening again one more time? Continue, counsel.
They weren't even there. But then when she personally, because she got fired by Zucker, right? So that's how she had to throw him into this.
Bailiff, do we have a time in here?
The best part about some of us who knew and could prove ugly truths about him that would likely have resulted in his defeat. One, it assumes that Jeff Zucker wanted his victory. We know that not to be true. But two, the idea that Sherry Jacobus,
yeah,
of all people,
yep,
is the one on the inside that knows all the dirty truths of Trump, I find completely hilarious.
That's the thing, is not only the hypocrisy of, like, if she supposedly knew that and applies to work for him, number one, what does that say about her? But number two, no one had more salacious stories about them come out during a campaign than Donald Trump. I mean, there must have been like five different stories that everyone on the news was like, well, that's it. It's a wrap. You know, like, to think that you've got the one story that'll finally do him in. I mean, like, who the hell do you think you are, cat lady? Get over yourself.
All right. So where do we go? What's the verdict?
This is going to be a tough one.
I mean, if you're opposed to the campus mob, you must be opposed to MAGA mobs. It's the same thing.
As endearing as. So this is the thing: is I think Sherry's take was better. However, in the spirit of gamesmanship, to truly prove she's like an Iron Man candidate, I'm giving this one to Bill Kristol because I want a round three.
That's not
absolute.
The judge doesn't realize he just gave me the game.
That's a game. I gave that to Bill Kristol on purpose.
High five. I win.
This is outrageous. This court not only was an advocate But it messed up their own decision making.
So what, here's the thing: is
what a judge.
Even if it was messed up. Here's the thing:
he did it so he could get to round three, and then he gave a 2-round victory.
I forgot to give him. But here's the thing: is what we need is more judges on our side legislating from the bench. It's time to fight fire with fire.
Well, that's right. Certainly.
And so I think subconsciously I knew that.
Yeah.
What an amazing outcome.
What a great game.
What an amazing
outcome. What a great
outcome.
Game. What a judge.
I am filing
the
appeal.
The reviews are great. Many people say, what a great judge.
I want you to know I had three other ones that I was juggling around for the closer because I needed to kind of position them differently based on an upset in round one. And I didn't get to my heat. And for that, you're to blame.
Well, I think I made the right ruling.
For all the wrong reasons.
Esteemed jurisprudence.
That's unbelievable. I don't think we've had just a sheer mistake before.
Hey, law's messy.
Oh, with all that, folks, thank you for joining us here on a big Tuesday as we're on the road. Hope you enjoyed the games. We're going to be back on Thursday giving you some good stuff and a rundown of what's happening in the news. But until then, fellas, I think we did it.
I think so. Absolute banger of an episode. Gentlemen, thank you so much to me for being a great judge. And thank you so much to the Minions. Remember, subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. So until next time, Minions, keep the faith, hold the line, and own the libs. We'll see you on Thursday. Stay ruthless.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.